University of Calais, prayed for 7.5 years to see heaven. He was a missionary to the Amazon jungles when God honored his request and took him to heaven for 5.5 days. Listen now as Dr. Calais shares this fabulous testimony.
Yes, friends, this is Percy Calais, who did spend 5.5 days in heaven. It was explained to me by Jesus and the archangels how the whole heavenlies operate. I was taken to the window of heaven to look into eternity. Also, at that same time, I could look down and see all of the whole planets below, the sun, the earth, and all the planets below, as I could look down and see them all with the heavenly eyes that the Lord had provided me with while I was in heaven. The sun is absolutely a stationary planet, and so is heaven a stationary planet with its own power and with its own fire system and with its own self-supporting planet. And God is the creator who created all things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and set the sun in its place to provide the earth and the planets surrounding the sun with light, with heat, and with also the power to grow things down upon this earth. But heaven is different. Heaven is different than the sun. Heaven is a stationary planet created by God the Father in order for the angels, the archangels, the church, and also for the home of the redeemed. The home of the redeemed will dwell in heaven with Jesus, because Jesus, hallelujah, is the head of the church on this earth. He is the potentate. He is the Lord and the King of the ones who have been washed in his blood, and those that have been filled with his Spirit, and also those that are baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus explained to me many things in heaven of how the whole universe and the whole sun system and the whole planets operate. They operate under the divine direction of God, that there will be a time of reckoning, there will be a time of gathering, there will be a time of going to heaven to be with God, with Jesus, and with the saints, with everyone up there in heaven forever and ever. As I looked down upon the earth and could see the earth, the planet earth, and it could hear what was going on down here, it's the most miraculous reality about heaven. Heaven tunes into the earth and knows exactly what is going on down here on this earth. Walking this earth walk here, we walk it with one purpose, either to go with the demon powers of the enemy or to go with God and his angels and the glorious church to spend eternity in heaven. There is no end to eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. Always was, always will, and always will be. And God come out to build and create heaven and build the interior heaven, came out of eternity. And with him came his Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. All come out from eternity. If you could begin to even touch one little bit of a thought on this earth about what eternity is, you would absolutely feel that you're greater than all the astronomers or the astrologers who claim to have a connection with the outside world, or any of those who have used their great telescopes to look in to the great heavens or the heavenlies. There's a difference between the heavenlies and the heaven itself. Heaven itself is the place that God has created for the sole purpose of entertaining the angels, entertaining the children of God, entertaining those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So therefore, heaven is a place of great entertainment. And as Jesus took me across the sea of life, the river of life, sea of life, which is also called in heaven the sea of life and the heaven of life, as we crossed that great river, and then a long way from the river to the great window of heaven to look out into eternity. And also from that window, or from that opening in heaven, we could see the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit, you could see it very clear and plain, as I was given those eyes to see that hole in space. There is no bottom to it. Now, when the Bible speaks of the bottomless pit, speaking of it as down. Well, as far as heaven is concerned, it is down. Now, when you look away in heaven into eternity with an endless and an endless and an endless space and no miles, no kilometers, no length, breadth, or distance, but out there forever and ever, it's exactly the same reality, Rabashanda, the same reality, or in the opposite, is a bottomless pit, falling forever and never stop falling. And this is where the unredeemed will go. This is where those that have not accepted Jesus as their Savior, but rejected Him on this earth, and they say there is no God. The only find in the Bible, you only find in the Bible this one statement: for the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. So it's very foolish to say there's no God, because there is a God. There is eternity. There is salvation. There is everlasting life. And to make an everlasting life in heaven can only be done by God the Father, to live forever and ever. Heaven is a tremendous place, very large and very big. It has its own power system, its own power, which is created by God to light up heaven. And when Jesus was in heaven with me and walking together, He could automatically light up heaven with the eyes. Now, how can Jesus do that in the Lamb where the city, in the city where the Lamb is the light? Jesus. And Jesus is automatically hooked up to the powerhouse of God, hooked up to the great God the Father, which is a fire. God is a consuming fire. God is a spirit. God is love. God is also a being of great stature, a being that in His powers of His hands and His feet is a great power of order. And He controls and runs the whole organization and organism of heaven. Walking from before the central part of the throne of God, and when you think of a throne so great, so big, and so miraculous, and so marvelous, a throne that is not just like, as it may be, 200 or 300 feet long in this way and that way, the way some would have us believe. But heaven, as we said, is like a gigantic mountain, and speaks about coming in the Bible, coming up to the mounting of God. It is a tremendous place. And that when you can look upon the throne of God, of which I did, can you try to conceive in your heart and in your soul the size of the throne? Can you try to understand the size of the great altar of God, the size of the fire altar, the fire on the altar of God? Can you try to conceive and understand the greatness of under the throne of God, where thousands upon thousands pray to be avenged of the enemy, the devil? Can you begin to understand in your mind the size of the throne? Now, the throne is not just a flat throne, as it would be upon this earth, as a throne of the kingdoms of this earth, but it's a gigantic place. Now, can you understand in your heart and your soul these different, you might call them, according to earthly conception, canyons or ways and roads? We'll call them roads because you could not explain it any other way. Well, they're not roads, but they're entrances up to the throne of God. Now, the height of the throne, can you begin to understand a throne thousands of miles high and God sitting on the top of the throne and Jesus sitting at the right hand and a space of thousands of miles down to the foot of the throne and where those who would be going up to the throne of God and passing by the feet of God, going up from the very base of the throne, going up there thousands of miles up through these different entrances. There are 12 entrances to the throne of God, and each one of those entrances going up, that is from the altar of God, the 12 entrances going up. In other words, a throne of God is a part of heaven specially built, specially prepared, specially made for God the Father to sit on. And God the Father sits in the central part of the high part of the throne. If you would look up and see a high mountain, such as Mount Everest, or the different mountains, and then you think of the volcanoes, where coming out of the top of those volcanoes, those high mountains, in California, the high mountain there, in Alaska, the high mountain, the small mind of man can stand at the base of one of those great mountains and look up into the top of that and see the volcano working, or coming out of it, the scene of a cloud or mist or whatever you want to call it, or the lava or whatever you want to say it is coming out of the top of that volcano. Now, I'm trying to get into your mind the greatness of God's throne, the greatness of it, the greatness of this great throne, and then the different entrances going up to the before the footstool of God, going up there to where God sits, going up there to where He sits upon that white throne. I want you to try to conceive in your own earthly mind, where on this earth walk, as God sits up on His great throne, at the very top of this throne, looking and coming up from all sides, from the back, from the front, from every part of it. There are 12 ways up there to the top. And these 12 ways up there to the top is which you can enter and go and kneel and kneel. I said kneel and fall prostrate before the great throne of God. Now, the lower altar is in the lower part of heaven, or where the dancing is going on, and where the city four square is, and where the mansions are being built there for those soul winners, and where all the diamonds and sapphires and all the precious stones are. From where God sits upon His throne, it's thousands of miles down to the base of the throne. And here God sits up on the top of this great throne there. And you go up, and as you go up that throne, up that road to that throne, or that way up to the throne, then you come to a space which is the worship of the Lord. You fall down and worship God. Here's where you fall down to worship Him. It's a special trip up there from the base of heaven up to the throne of God to go up and worship God. And I went up there to where this great and glorious part of heaven was, high upon the throne. It was the devil that wanted to ascend up that great high place, but I had the privilege of going up there before the throne of God. And in there, as I entered this part or this space, down where the feet of God was resting, I fell prostrate before God the Father. Falling prostrate before Him, there it was that I received the feathers. The feathers were not down in the, but they were there, up in the throne of God, and yet they reached all the way down from the great throne of God above, high up above the altar, and then down, and these feathers in the left hand of God reached all the way down, unto the lower base of the throne. God the Father sits on His throne, perfectly center of this high and mighty and great throne. And then on His right hand sits Jesus, His Son, permanently, always sitting there. However, Jesus can be down in the lower part of heaven while still sitting on the throne. This is the great reality of God, what God can do. Let His Son come down, as it were, a spirit of Jesus, a spirit coming down in and around the base of the throne to walk with me in heaven. Walking with me in heaven, Jesus took me and took me walking and talking and participating in the great, wonderful reality of the things that are happening in heaven. Going to the left and to the right, go by the chariot that I rode in Elijah's chariot. I didn't have to walk up. Well, I did walk up one time, but when I was in Elijah's chariot, I went up around the base of the high throne, up around, circled around it, up where God was dwelling, up where the great Creator was dwelling, up in the high heaven, up in the high place, in the highest of high, and the high God, and the most high God. The Bible speaks of the most high God, and He is the most high God. And here is where God come from. Now, can you imagine a God so powerful, and so great, and so glorious, that He could come from out of eternity, away back out of eternity, and come there and create a planet right in the middle of the heavenlies? Creating this great planet, creating a throne, and then taking His place upon the throne. Now, who set God in the place in the heaven? Who set God in the place before man or anyone was there, such as any of the redeemed? It was explained to me, my Jesus, that the archangels and the angels in His creation set Him on that throne, and there He is. And as they set Him on that throne, they worshipped Him, and worshipped Him night and day for 10,000 years before there was ever any one went down, worshipped Him for 10,000 times 10,000 years upon that throne. And in His great creation, as He could reach out and create more things upon this earth, yet the scientists have gone out a little way, walked upon the moon, walked in these different places and visited and gone around the different planets by the satellites, and even Russia is doing that. And because this is the action of man, doing and thinking, and they are going out from this earthly into space and going around. But it's just a little touch of what the great heavenly is. Now, as they circled the earth, then these operations of scientists' action, then to circle the throne of God in a chariot up there without... to go around the throne of God and speak God's language, the language that comes out of the inward man, the language that comes out, hallelujah, from the very belly of man. And this language will be embedded into the body of man, before the great rapture. And out of His belly, as the Bible says, we've quoted that, shall flow rivers of living waters. In other words, God the Father will put this language into us, to the redeemed, that when we get into heaven, we'll not have to learn the language. We'll not have to learn God's language. But we know, but there's those that do not speak in tongues down here. They'll go to heaven and to the outer perimeter, and there they will dwell. But my friends out there listening to me this morning, on this tape or this night or whatever time of day it is. I would like to say that you get the education down here, and the education is to go around the throne of God. It's to learn God's language here upon this earth and be ready to be able to talk to God, be able to talk to the archangels, because the archangels only speak God's language. Now, I prayed the prayer of desperation for over 7 years, maybe 7 and a half. I'm not supposed to tell times, dates, or seasons, or lengths of stays, or new moons, or any of these actions, because it's all spiritual. There's absolutely no time in heaven, because it's forever and ever. And yet upon this earth, upon this great earth, there are those that are learning God's language. And if you want to learn God's language, you would like to learn God's language, whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, or what organization you belong to, you must receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism, not the baptism of, not the Spirit or Spirit, but the Spirit is different, but the full baptism of the third person of the Trinity. It is God's instructions to the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost speaks His language. When the Holy Ghost or the third person speaks to the Father, speaks to Jesus, He speaks to God the Father in the language that has been given to Him by God the Father. It is the words that God the Father used. It's the words that are used in heaven. It is the language that is used in heaven. Going back for a moment to the Tower of Babel, when man began to construct the Babel Tower and go to his own way in the earthly walk, he began to try and build his way up to heaven. God said, "Let us go down and confuse their language," which he did. The mortar carrying the brick there could not understand one another. But passing over from Babel over to Pentecost, when Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until they receive power from high, they begin to speak in God's language. Also, in the master of this great language, they also spoke everyone in the earthly languages. So down among the Indians where I work, you learn to speak the Indian languages by and through the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's much easier to learn an earthly language through and by the Spirit of the Lord. But also, at Pentecost, there was an unknown tongue. Paul spoke about the unknown tongue. They did not know what it was, didn't understand it. That's why it takes an interpretation of prophecy to interpret the language of heaven. When the language of heaven is interpreted, it comes out in a prophecy into the English language, but it can be interpreted into any language of the world. And this is what the prophecy is for, so the world would understand what is being said in God's language. And this God's language comes out of a person's belly, comes out of the inward, and is supplied by the Holy Ghost. And it's God's language directly from the throne, as being spoken by God the Father into the mind, soul of the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost, being the third person in the Trinity, is the one who is the comforter sent by Jesus upon this earth to comfort you. Comfort one another through the Holy Ghost. And then when you receive the power to speak in other tongues, that is the tongues of this world, when you receive the power in order to do the most miraculous things, then you learn God's language. When you learn God's language, now here's the difference between those who've just been washed in the blood and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They'll not be able to speak God's language before the altar of God because they have not learned it. But you can learn this language down on this earth. You can learn God's language right here. You can learn to speak in the heavenly language, in God's language. Now, when Paul was on his way to Damascus, he met Jesus, and Jesus spoke to Paul out of heaven in the Hebrew tongue. Why did he speak to him in the Hebrew tongue? Because Paul at that time had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But after he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He explained it to us. He was able to talk to God in God's language, very clear and very plain, if you follow it clearly according to the Word of God. So then if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost down here and speak God's language, you'll definitely be able to go up before the throne of God and talk to God the Father. So I talk to God the Father. And I talk to God the Father. When I talk to God the Father, He's not a God of a lot of words. And He come back and was pleased in what I was doing. Can you imagine going up thousands of miles from the base of the altar, going up there to where there's a great space, a thousand miles each way, a place that's just like a silken carpet, just so beautiful and soft, where you can go and being prostrate before God the Father, being prostrate before Him. It's heaven I'm talking about this on this tape, heaven. And you can go there, and you can go before the great throne of God. And before the great throne of God, God the Father can speak to you and put a special anointing upon you, which He did on me. And that anointing that God the Father sowed, the great judgment will take place there, not in that very place, but a couple of thousand miles south or down below that is where the judgment will take place. So everybody will go up before that judgment, and they'll stand before that judgment. However, those that have been washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking God's language will be represented by Jesus. And Jesus will stand there before God the Father, and He will say, and He is like a great representative, a potentate, a Jesus who represents us. He'll stand before God the Father in behalf of all of those who are up there. And He'll say to God the Father, this is my church, this is mine, they've already been washed in my blood, they've already been sanctified by the power of the living God. But not only that, Father, but they've learned our language down there. And they're going to sing to you right now before the throne of God. And this will be a wonderful reality when the saints of God that are able to speak God's language will begin to sing the same language with God. We'll be able to sing to God the Father. And you know that man that's down in the outer perimeter, he'll have to learn that language. He'll have to get that same language in order to be able to come up before God. Can you imagine such a singing of those of the millions of the redeemed who have been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, filled with the glory of God, standing before the throne of God and singing to God the Father in God's language? It's God's language, and you can sing it, and you can speak it, and you can learn it right down here. And friends, you cannot go to the university to learn it, because that professor does not know it. You go to the University of God's Holy Ghost University, which is directed by the Holy Ghost. And He's a good office keeper. He is the one that teaches you and shows it to you, the glories of the living God. You'll be ready. If I was you out there, I would start seeking God. And I would ask God to fill me with the Holy Ghost, that you may be able to come up before the throne of God, not have to go through that period of education in heaven. You miss that type of education because you've learned to speak to God down here, and you've learned to speak to the Lord. And when this great combustion takes place, God with His Spirit is going to come down to you with the power of the Lord. Friends, I love you this morning. It's a great love that's the greatest love between here and eternity. Oh, what love God can put in your heart to love one another. May God bless you. Thank you. Yes, friends, I'm speaking to you by the way of this tape. Before I'm making this tape, I'm getting my instructions directly from heaven. I'm not going by memory as to what happened at that time, but it's being brought back to me through the power of the Holy Ghost. As I told you in the previous tapes, the wonderful trip into heaven, and I also told you there was a period of 7 years or so, a prayer of desperation. In order to get an angel of the Lord to come to you, you must be in a prayer of desperation. Now, there's a difference between the angel of the Lord and your own angel. Your own angel stays with you all the time. So last night, in the eventide, I prayed 1 hour, a prayer of desperation. The prayer of desperation is an anxious prayer. It's not a prayer of asking for a pound of butter or something like that, or finances to run God's business. It's a different. It's the prayer going right into heaven. Daniel prayed that type of a prayer, if you remember, and it took around a week or whatever it was to get the answer, because the prince of Persia, that one stopped the message, and finally the message got back. Now, when you pray to heaven, you don't expect that answer to come back in the next 2 minutes. Stay on your knees and pray thoroughly, because God will send his answer back. He may not answer immediately. He's not a God to jump out of his seat and say, here's a man calling me from down in the earth, and I'm ready, I've got to jump. God is a God of great order, and he'll do these things properly. And he's got millions of citizens down here who he's got to answer their prayers. To heaven, it's a 6 hour journey to heaven. So I prayed the prayer of desperation last night, and when I got through, I woke from the prayer of desperation and looked at the clock on the side of the bed. And there was 1 hour that had gone by, and it seemed only just about 3 or 4 minutes, but an hour had gone by, because I was in direct touch into heaven, to the throne of God, to Jesus, the angels, the archangels, to know what to do. And then the answer, I heard the voice say, in 6 hours, I will send an angel down to talk to you. So I waited in my room with the doors closed, and everything closed, and nobody bothering. There was silence in the house. A person was in that house. A sense of something was different. And the doors were locked. And my bedroom door was closed. And I waited upon the Lord. Daniel waited upon the Lord. And the answer came from heaven. From the angel of the Lord. The answer came back. If you go back in the old Bible, you'll find angels visited the men of God. But I can imagine it was not just something that happened by just saying, angel, switch, and switch, and switch, and here comes the angel come. And it's not that on that fashion. It's an hour at least, of the prayer of desperation. What is a prayer of desperation? And it's an anxious prayer. It's a prayer of getting heaven to move. You don't just move heaven by saying, God bless you. That doesn't move heaven. It's good. That's a part of it. You don't move heaven that way. In order to move heaven, for heaven to move, and to heaven to answer your prayer, you've got to be sincere. You've got to be completely shut out from this world, and you can't jump up and jump down, go from one thing and go back to prayer again. It's a prayer of desperation. It's different than an intercessor's prayer. It's altogether different. The men of God in the Old Testament prayed the prayer of desperation sometimes. In other words, you get anxious. You really mean it. You really want to do it. You really want the answer for heaven. And you really desire in your heart, and you pray right out of your belly. You pray in God's language to get it done. You don't pray in English. You don't pray in French. You pray in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, can you imagine somebody in a room speaking in God's language for one solid hour and never stopped? That's what I did last night. Preached and spoke and prayed in God's language. In God's language, right out of my belly, for 1 hour. And you know what that prayer was going, the prayer of desperation, was going through to the throne of God and right under the throne of God and right to the throne of God. And I used to hear saying, well, we touched the throne of God. This was more than just touching the throne of God. It was getting heaven to move in my behalf. So then I was told there that the angel of the Lord from heaven would be sent to talk to me. Now, I'd never seen this angel before, not even in heaven. It was a different angel, the one that took me to heaven, that brought this special message to me. He brought this special message to me, and he talked to me with my angel for over 2 hours in my bedroom. And that happened also in Lakewood Church, the same thing. I was over in Lakewood Church right outside of the fence, and I prayed a prayer of desperation. And there, in the cabin right outside of the fence, it scared the watchman to death because he saw the regular light and the fire coming out of the crevices of the door and the windows. He'll give you that testimony. Coming right out of there because it's fire. And my room was lit up with the fire of God right off the altar. Lit up by the power. Lit up with the same power that when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost back in 1921, when that great ball of fire came down from heaven. Did you ever have an experience like this? You'd never be the same. I've had that experience. And that angel of the Lord came in. The room was lit up just like fire, and I was in the midst of it. And God had sent the angel to talk to me. He told me exactly what to do. He said, when you speak to the world, speak of heaven. Speak only of heaven. Don't tell my secrets now. You must not tell any secrets, because the world is not ready to accept them yet. It would upset the church, and they wouldn't know what they were doing, because it's such a power, and these secrets are such a power. Don't give out any of my secrets yet until the special time that I will tell you to do it. The world is not ready to receive them yet, and it will be during the time of the great explosion when I will be able to do that, for the explosion is coming. And then the angel told me, the angel of the Lord, and the room began to shake. And the building, they must have felt it in the other part of the building. They had to feel it because my room was shaking at the presence of the glory of the Lord. And the fire was going out the window. If anybody had been outside, they must have seen it. Because the woman that was there could see the light coming out from under the door. If that would not do something to you, you'd never be the same again. That watchman said, it scared me to death. And it would scare some of the earthlings together because they're not used to the direct intervention of God. And this is what happened to me last night. He told me while I was making tapes upon this earth to speak of heaven and the connection of heaven and the glories of heaven and the powers of heaven and how I walk with Jesus in heaven. I want to take you now over to the great window of heaven. Looking in there again, out in, right into eternity. And Jesus told me that his Father come from there and he come from there, from eternity, out millions and millions of miles into eternity. And there was more of God's creation back in there. Beings that had never fallen, that had never fallen that worshiped God. And they were in there with great places of existence back in there, heavenly beings that where God came. And he told me, he said, that when I come to heaven, I'll take a journey to that place, specially because he said he will take those who are specially called of him into eternity, away back into eternity. And you'll understand then, Jesus told me, what eternity is. You can't understand eternity down there. How can you understand it? There's no mind upon this earth can conceive and understand eternity. But he will tell me just and I will understand eternity. Can you imagine being faithful enough? And he said, be faithful. Forget the earthly things. Don't talk about the earthly things, but talk about heavenly things. But if you have to talk about the earthly things, he said, do not do it during the time that you're in the Spirit and during the time you're talking about me. To be sure that you're in my Spirit is in you, and you speak only from thy belly, and you speak only the things that I tell you to say. And he told me this. He said that heaven is big enough to accommodate every redeemed person, everyone. and there will be millions upon millions in heaven who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he said there will be a great homecoming in heaven, and the homecoming in heaven will last 1,000 years. Can you imagine a 1,000-year homecoming? This is different than meeting Jesus in the air. This is different than the wedding supper of the Lamb. But this is worshiping God in heaven for a day. And that will be 1,000 years, because a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. So be prepared, my friend. That is the redeemed, the one washed in the blood, the ones who can speak God's language, will have a welcome in heaven for 1,000 years. And can you imagine participating in a welcoming party and by God the Father in there through Jesus Christ our Lord? This will be after the judgment, and 1,000 years of welcoming ceremonies, and each one's name will be called personally. And that's going to take 1,000 years to do that. That everyone in heaven will be called up before the throne of God, and their name, and they'll be given a new name in heaven. There is a new name in heaven and a new name. And that name will be given to them by God the Father, but we'll be known as we're known. What a great understanding and a great reality God has given me through his angel last night as to what is going to happen in heaven. Then, during the music, but there will be a short silence of quiet in heaven. Just a short silence of quiet. And then after that, all heaven's music will let loose at the welcoming, and the bells will ring. Now here's another part of heaven I saw as I was up above the throne of God, looking down upon the lower part of the heavens where Paul stood, where I entered into heaven. You could see over the top of the chandeliers. Now can you imagine 1 billion chandeliers hanging up above heaven? Chandeliers lit up with the light, the reflection of the city where the Lamb is the light, the beautiful looking like stars above, lighting up. But yet above that, all above that, is the glory of God. And above those chandeliers shines the glory of God, the great glory of God shining all over the top of those chandeliers. And here's where the bells are hanging. And between these chandeliers are billions and millions and more millions of bells. And these bells ring. What do these bells ring for? As I've told you, they ring for the souls that are coming to the altar and being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's different. The bells have already rung for you to being washed in the blood. But then the heavenly music rings up and rings up towards God, and the singing is in God's language, and it's singing, 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 singing to the glory of God in God's language, as to those, for those who have been filled with God's language. And here is something else. Oh my, something else that's so powerful. When you speak in God's language upon this earth, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that language goes direct to heaven as you speak it out of your belly, and is recorded in forever in heaven. And you'll be able to turn around and hear what you said down on this earth. Won't that be something? Won't that be something when you spoke in God's language out of your belly, and you want to turn into that heavenly television station and just listen to what you said down on this earth in God's language? It's a perfect reality. Is the glory of God. Remember to switch your life over from the life of this world unto the life of God, unto the life of heaven. When you speak from out of your belly, and shall flow these rivers of living waters, and shall flow the heavenly language, can you imagine? That's what it says, that every word will be recorded in heaven. It's not talking about the cursing. It's not talking about that. When you curse, that's destroyed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is not recorded in heaven. There will be no cursing in heaven. So if you curse down here, it said every word will be recorded. That's not talking about that. That is talking about when you speak in God's language. When you speak in his language, because the only language that can enter into heaven is the purity of God's language. No earthly language can, only the prayer of desperation. So when you pray the prayer of desperation, when I pray the prayer of desperation, coming right out of my belly. And I tell you, this very things that I say to you is not coming from my head. It's coming right out of my belly, and I can feel it to you, friends, because out of my belly is coming this message to you through this tape ministry. Then after we stood there at the window of heaven and turning around, we walked to our left from the window, and here was a great recording station. Now, you talk about a recording station. You talk about, and it is said by the scientists, that words that are spoken upon this earth vibrate around the earth, and they can even pick, they claim, back things that were spoken several thousand years ago. Scientists are saying that. But these words being recorded in heaven. So then Jesus took me over. He said, you want to hear yourself? When you spoke in tongues down there in God's language come out of your belly? And he just switched it on. I heard what I said down here. I want to tell you, that's a perfect recording studio. Everything is recorded up there pertaining to God. And you know how big this recording station was? It was 2,000 miles long and 2,000 miles high, 2,000 miles deep, and 2,000 miles square. Here was the recording department of heaven, and everything is recorded. And do you know something? That even the hairs on everybody's head is recorded in this great recording station. Can you imagine such a recording station that has a record of the hairs upon your head and recorded there in this recording station? That's God's great power. Explain to me the human brain. They have made, and I understand the human brain, very much so in medicine. The human brain is made up of all kinds of cells, but of all the earthly computers, and of all the earthly, there's not one that can compare with the brain of man that God created. The brain of man can remember back from the time 2 or 3 years old and record it, and you can remember it. And this were the greatest computer, the greatest memory, greatest of all is the human brain. Now, God's brain is supernatural. God's brain, does God have a brain? Oh, God has a tremendous brain. And in his brain, well, in the brain of man, Jesus explained it to me, we can remember all things. Now, I'm going to tell you what God is. How big God is. Say, how big is God? And I'm going to tell you how big God is and how his memory is. Here's all your brains and all the brains of the world and all the things of the world. In God's brain is recorded it all. All recorded in God's brain. Can you imagine a God that can remember the billions of things that happen on this earth? God can switch right into his recording department and he can speak it right out. And it's a spiritual recording department. And speak right out things that happened back in the Garden of Eden, things that happened all through the time. God the Father can remember it all. But he came out of eternity. What is back in eternity? He said there are billions of beings back in there, way into eternity, that worship him. And that's going to be so wonderful. To go with Jesus. Jesus is going to personally take me there. And he's going to take some others with him too. Back and way into eternity. To see, I'll tell you, this is something. To get a promise from Jesus. That you're going to eternity. To see what's happening in eternity. Coming back into heaven. Into the glories of heaven. Can you imagine a throne? 1,000 feet at the base high or more. And studded all around with it. With all kinds of precious stones and all kinds of glorious things in heaven. All there so beautiful. And then can you imagine a part of that throne hundreds of miles long and a fire continuously burning upon that altar? And the flame that never goes out, a flame that's always burning. And how is this flame kept in operation? The days of the old coal oil lamps or the kerosene lamps, you'd have to fill them up, and they'd burn for a while. Now, this is a fire burning on the altar of God, a fire burning, continuously burning. And John F. Kennedy, when he left, and they put a flame in there, but they got there remembering his time upon this earth, but they have to put oil in that thing and make that work over his grave. Got to keep that in, if they ever let that fuel go out, that light will go out. So it's not a permanent light. They call it a permanent light, but it's not a permanent light. And then there's a light over in India there that isn't it supposed to burn forever, but they still have to refuel it. Still have to refuel it. And here is a light and a fire. And why does it burn forever? Because God is a consuming fire. What do you mean that God's a consuming fire? He can burn up inside of you through the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is a cleanser, and through the Holy Ghost. And through the Holy Ghost you may be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, but you're not yet perfect. You're not perfect. You do things you do. But the Holy Ghost comes in, and the Holy Ghost will not come into an unclean vessel. When you've given your life over to the glories of God, you've got to be careful as you're in that period, because that's about the time that seven devils could come into you. So it's very important if you start want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't stop and go outside. Don't do it. Stay with it till you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost power through the Jesus Christ and through the Holy Ghost, for God is a consuming fire, and here it comes again. Ye shall receive power of the Holy Ghost upon you, and build the Holy Ghost, and with what? And with fire. There's the fire right there. Where does that fire come from? From God. Where does that fire come from? I'm saying fire. I'm talking about fire in you. My, I've heard that expression say, she's a fiery woman. She's a fiery man. Boy, she's sure some fiery woman. I've heard them say that, but that's different. You are a fiery person when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, because the power of God consumes. God is a consuming fire. And I'm explaining to you something about heaven now. And on this wonderful and glorious, glorious altar, where the fire of God is burning all the time, where the cherubims and the seraphims dwell, and where they sit all around and the fire doesn't hurt them, and they come and they come off the altar every once in a while, and they fly through heaven, and they keep that fire burning all through heaven. Can you imagine the cherubims and the seraphims flying all through heaven and keeping the fire burning? Oh, hallelujah, how great and glorious that is. But yet that fire from God from heaven through the power of the Holy Ghost, from off the altar of God through the Spirit, come down upon this earth and come into your body. So then, as God is a consuming fire, and He fills you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Have you ever heard that expression, she's a fireball or he's a fireball? Of course you've heard that expression. I'll tell you, when the Holy Ghost, you become more of a fireball than ever. You could become also a consuming fire for God. You become a consuming fire. This is heaven coming down upon you, a consuming fire. And that's what you are, a consuming fire. So don't mess with a fire. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. And you become anointed when you have that fire with you. Don't ever try to do a Holy Ghost person any harm, because you will land up with a dirty end of the stick every time. You'll do it. And no, you cannot do it. And I want to tell you right here and right now, this earth is going to be so full of the people that have been endowed with a consuming fire, with a fire filling, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't forget the fire. You said, well, I got the Holy Ghost back in a certain time. But did you get the fire? That's the main thing. Did you get that fire in your life? The fire that you have power to preach the gospel for Jesus Christ. You know, without, what is the fire? It is the anointing. The fire is the anointing. And you cannot do anything real with God without the anointing. That little black boy one time out in the state of Nebraska was traveling through the country. And he got up with his guitar and he began to sing about heaven. And he sang under the anointing for at least 2 hours. And they began to run to the altar squealing and crying to God, what must I do to be saved? Just a Georgia black boy, but I'll never forget it. Next night, they put advertising in the paper, said the black boy is going to be here tomorrow night, going to be here. And we had a great big crowd come. And he got up like he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you'd understand, I cannot be tonight what I was last night. I don't have the anointing. I had the anointing last night. This all come from heaven." But he said, "I've got to go back and pray for at least 30 days before I get that same anointing again." That little old black boy from Georgia taught them a lesson. You see, they were so prone to capitalize on it and bring a crowd in, a great capitalization, and get a big offering. But you know, when he said that, that knocked the wind out of everybody. Did you ever get the wind knocked out of you and puff that great puff up? They were trying to puff that little old black boy up, but he had sense enough not to get his guitar. He said, "I can't take that guitar tonight." "Well, don't you going to take it out of your box?" "No, I'm not going to take it out of my box." "What are you going to do?" "I'm going to leave it in the box because I'm going to only use it next time when they get the anointing." He followed me all the way to California. I'll never forget it. And we went into the victory tab, upper room, the old upper room. And that upper room there, where the power of God was been going for years. And that little old colored black boy followed me there. And I said to him, "Do you have the anointing?" "I got it," he says, "I got it." And he took that guitar and he swept that place under the anointing of God by just singing the songs. There is the anointing. Without the anointing, it is impossible to even please God, let alone work for God. The anointing. What is the anointing? As the woman anointed Jesus with the ointment, she anointed him and wiped his feet with her long hair. She sat in front of him, and that hair in those days reached down almost to her feet. She took that beautiful hair, and that's the beauty of a woman. That beauty of that woman, she took that long hair and wiped the feet of Jesus. She wiped him, and Jesus saw it. He saw the compassion, and he had compassion. "This woman has done more than ye all. She's not ceased to kiss my feet and wipe my feet with her hair." The anointing oil, and then the alabaster box, the one with the alabaster box, which was so expensive, with the alabaster box anointed Jesus for his death. And it's the same way with the anointing coming from heaven. This is a different kind of anointing. It's not done even with the oil, but it's done with the anointing from God. And when you get that anointing from God through the power of the Holy Ghost, it comes into your body and you become a fire and a consuming fire. You become a fire to speak, and you speak forth the oracles of God with authority. And I'm speaking to you with authority this day about heaven. Heaven's real. And these tapes that you're going to get, we're going to talk more about heaven. And heaven, there's a lot to tell you yet. And you must listen to it all if you want to be comforted. Comfort ye one another with these words. And the Comforter has come. Thank God the Comforter came to me last night along with the angel. And I was comforted. Hallelujah! Glory! To be comforted by the power of God. Listen to the voice of God, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to the Lord God Almighty who said to you, through the power of Jesus Christ, you must be born again, born of the water of the Spirit, and to be filled with the glories of the Lord. To be filled with Him, to be filled with the Lord, is the great and mighty way of the Lord. God bless you is my prayer. I will be with you, and be with you. May God bless you. Amen.